Thank you. Thanks, guys, for leading in singing. It's nice to sing Christmas song one last time, I guess, until 2021 November or something like that. So it's nice to, yeah, special props for doing that and for singing O Holy Night. That's we're wondering if we're going to sing that song this time, but there you go. You guys did it. So thanks for that. I trust that you have all had a wonderful, meaningful Christmas Day in your own context. I hope you are able to watch and participate in the service, Christmas service video that we had put together with the rest of our folks at CEC. I must give a big thank you to all those who participated in that, who joined in singing, who did the reading for the kids, who did the narration so wonderfully, and for those who helped compile and edit the video as well. Thank you so much for your participation. Well, here we are on the last Sunday of the year 2020. I think this has been quite a year for all of us, and it's a year that I would have never imagined. It's almost stranger than fiction, at least for me. But we do look forward to a new year. We do look forward to what is coming in the new year and beyond that. And it's quite, it still strikes me with surprise that we are entering the new year this week. But that's where we are, and we are in the last week of, last Sunday of the year. I don't know how you practice and you prepare for a new year around this time, the few weeks of transitioning into a new year. But for me, this is always an interesting time to look back on the year, to remember the events and the things that happened in the year, in the past year, and also to plan and prepare for a new start. I love new start. I love the chance to begin afresh in a way. And even though December 31st, January 1 is just a new day, but it's still a good way to sort of transition and make resolutions and all of that stuff. And I think after such a tumultuous year of 2020, I think it takes courage and faith and hope to look forward to a new year, to another year. And so in today's message, I want to invite you to look at the ascension of Christ. And let me just set up the presentation right now. So I want to invite us to look at this ascension of Christ, the departure of Christ from earth. I hope it's coming, the slideshow. Okay. So the ascension of Christ is the event in which Jesus was taken up into heaven, ascended into heaven, as it's also called. This picture I found on the internet, it's by an artist from Central Africa. It's obviously a contextual depiction, and I thought it was very interesting, and I thought I should share. I don't have Legos, but this is all I've got. But in any case, ascension is, as I mentioned, it's the time when Jesus was taken into heaven, and he ascended into heaven as the Lord. And I want to invite you to look at this story, the meaning of it, and find joy and encouragement as we look forward to to our future. So what I really want to do is, for this Sunday and next Sunday, I want to look at the ascension of Christ for two Sundays. And next Sunday will be more of the implications on us. But for today, I want to look at the meaning and the encouragement that it holds for us. So the text we'll be looking at is John 14, the entire chapter of John 14. And we will be doing some considerable reading. I will be reading, and you can follow along in the slideshow. So the main thing I want to invite us to remember is this from John 14 verse 1. Do not lose heart. Believe in God and believe in me. These are the words of Jesus. This is essentially what I want us to remember and take courage as we look forward to the future. Again, we have in the past year, we have been looking at the mission of God in the lives of the of figures from the Old Testament and New Testament. We have looked at the life of Jesus as a life of mission. We have obviously in the past few Sundays, few weeks, we have looked at the birth of Jesus. Jesus born as a baby. And in a way, we are fast forwarding to the earthly life of Jesus, and we're looking at how he departed from earth. And so we want to look at when Jesus was taken up into heaven. So let me just go ahead and read this. Hang on, before I read that. So we want to look at two. I'm supposed to have another slideshow, but I don't have it. Sorry about that. But ascension is really the event in which Jesus was taken up into heaven. And I was struck by the comparison that came to my mind when I thought about ascension and Christmas. Because on Christmas Day, or at least in the day that Christ was born, it was the moment in which Jesus was revealed in the form of human. So it was his entrance into the scene of human history. And ascension is really the moment in which Jesus was revealed in his glory. So I was struck, not the most neatest of comparisons, but in one sense we have in Christmas, Jesus revealed as a humble human being in the form of a baby. And in the ascension, we have Jesus revealed in all his glory. He is lifted up and he is ascended as Lord of all, Lord of heaven and earth. In Philippians chapter 2, which I will not read through, but some of you might be aware of this text. Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes that Christ humbled himself, became in the form of human servant, even to the point of death. And because of that, God lifted him up. So we've got these two visions of humility and Christmas and glory in on ascension. Ascension really is about the enthroning of Jesus as Lord. Often we have this, even in this painting, we see this depiction, but we often think of ascension as a literal going up, like a, this is what Karl Barth says about ascension. Karl Barth is a German theologian, and he writes, ascension, the focus here is not so much the literal going up in a balloon, like being lifted up. That's not really the focus. The focus here is not so much the literal going up in a balloon, but entrance into a dimension of the created world, provisionally inaccessible to the disciples. What that means is that ascension is the moment when Jesus is stepping up into the position as Lord of heaven and earth. It's the revelation of who he really is. And it's a perspective of who Jesus is. In Christmas, we dwell on the humility of Jesus. On ascension, we come to a vision in which Jesus is revealed as truly Lord of all. And I think ascension really changes everything we look at, changes everything that we think about Jesus. He's humble, yes, but he's humble despite his greatness. He's the Lord of all. It's a bit like in when you watch a movie or read a story, and in one event changes the whole perspective of the person. When we think about ascension, the ascension changes everything about Jesus. His humility, put that in context. The manger, put that in context. His suffering, put that in context. That despite all of that he went through, he is still Lord. He is still Lord of heaven and earth. And so as we dwell on his humility during this Christmas season, we also remember that he is enthroned in glory and majesty. And with that said, we want to look at John 14. John 14 is really a text in which Jesus talks about when he will leave the disciples. And he starts with this text in verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. He's going to talk about how he's going to leave the disciples and go to the Father. And we see here that the implications of Jesus leaving, Jesus ascending to heaven, they are deeply personal. They are deeply accessible to us. And we see that in this text. So beautiful, so personal, and relates to us immediately where we are today. So I'm just going to go ahead and read the first few texts from verse 1 to 11. John 14, 1 to 11. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves. So the first thing that I want to remind us that the ascension of Christ brings for us is this small word up here on the top, home. Christ leaves us in a sense to prepare a home for us. Home is what Christ brings to us by virtue of his ascension, by virtue of his going away. And I was struck again by the comparison with Christmas. In Christmas, Christ came to this earth homeless in a way. He was born in a manger homeless. And Christ prepares a home for us. He is preparing a home for us. And I was just struck about the difference in that. And the reason why Christ is preparing a home for us is so that we can be where he is. And where exactly is that? This is a very mysterious thing we do not know the answer to. But the very least that we know is that he is with the Father. To put it in a very basic way, heaven is the ultimate and the real presence of God the Father. Heaven is the presence of the Father in its most basic form. And throughout the accounts of Jesus that we have been reading and we have been studying, we can see very clearly that Jesus wanted to be with his Father. There was some kind of anticipation and excitement for Jesus to be with the Father. And he obviously enjoyed being with the Father, and he also wants us to be with the Father. And I don't know how that makes you feel, but for me, it's the excitement is contagious. You look at Jesus, he always wanted to be with the Father. As a small boy, he was in the temple, and I think you would know this story. He was left behind by his parents, and he told his parents when they came looking for him, he said, do you not know that I have to be in my Father's house, doing my Father's work? Elsewhere, he says, my food is to do the will of the Father. He loved his Father. He loved to be with God the Father. And have you ever met someone whose excitement for, you know, a place or an experience is so contagious that you are just wanting to get a glimpse of that place or that get that excitement experience as well? Someone you trust, this guy or this girl is excited for this and it must be good. It's kind of like that. I feel the same way like that. Jesus was excited to be with his Father, and he's preparing that same place for us so that we also can be with the Father. Jesus wanted to be with the Father, and he wanted us to also be with the Father. Just a quick comment here. Obviously, this future element in this, we will be truly with the Father, with Jesus in heaven. But even at this point, even now, Christ has made a way for us to be home with the Father. We have been reconciled with God. We have an option to be in the presence of the Father. We have communion with the Father. There's one psalm in Psalm 84, verse 3 that I really love. It says, even the sparrow finds a home in the altar of the Father. And there it is. For us, we have a home in the presence of God, in the presence of the Father. And that is made possible by Jesus, by him going away. So that's first thing. Home is why Jesus went away, to prepare a home for us, to make it possible for us to be in the home, to be home in the presence of the Father. But the other thing that he makes possible for us is help. And help, we read this in verse 15, and I'm just going to go ahead and read this and reflect on it a little bit. John 14, 15, we continue reading. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keep them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Jesus sends us help. Jesus sends us the Holy Spirit. I love how he says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. He does not leave us like sheep without a shepherd, powerless, helpless, and in disarray. He sends us a helper. The Spirit of God has been given to us, to each one of us who believe in him. And he has been given us to us as our helper, as our guide, as our teacher, to empower us, to befriend us in our helplessness, in our loneliness. And if you really think about it, it's interesting because the one of the reasons why Jesus left the disciples is so that he can send the Holy Spirit to the disciples to be truly with the disciples. So Jesus left the disciples to be with the disciples in a more personal way, in a more intimate way, in a way that's not unbounded by his physical. See, when Jesus was walking as a human being, there's only a few people that he can interact with. But now we have the Holy Spirit given to each one of us, and each one of us can be connected to Jesus personally and intimately. And again, another text that I will not read out for lack of time, in Romans 8:26, we are told that the Holy Spirit knows the depths of our hearts, knows us in a sense more better than we even know ourselves, to the point that when we cannot speak of our anxiety or heaviness of heart or sadness in our heart, the Spirit groans on our behalf. The Spirit prays on our behalf. That's how intimately the Holy Spirit knows us and is connected to us. And because Jesus sends us this helper, this Holy Spirit, who knows us, we can take courage. And because the Holy Spirit is there to lead us to know what it means to be human beings, what it means to be me, what it means to be you, the most quote-unquote spiritual concerns of our life. Who am I? What am I becoming? What is my destiny? What is my role in this drama of life? The Holy Spirit lives within us to help us to understand that, to live that, to know God, and to know abundant life, eternal life. Again, elsewhere in John, Jesus says, this is eternal life, to know God. To know God is eternal life. To know Jesus Christ is eternal life. And the Holy Spirit is given to us to know that exactly. There's just a lot of things I want to say, but I will refrain. But just one more thing that I want to point out in verse 21. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And in the last part, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. It is through the Holy Spirit that we come to know Jesus Christ. It is through the Holy Spirit that Jesus manifests himself to us. How wonderful is it to have someone who lives in us, who guides us, and who is willing to lead us to what is best for us. So, if we put these two things together, we've got Jesus who ascended to the throne, and he prepares a home for us, and he sends help for us. And because of this hope and help, this verse makes sense. In John chapter 14, verse 15 to 21, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus can give us peace because he gives us a home. He gives us communion with the Father, and he gives us a help. He does not leave us as orphans. And I might as well point out, only Jesus can do this, because as he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him, through me. Only Jesus can give us a home. Only Jesus can give us this Holy Spirit as our help, because this is the Spirit of Christ. He is the Spirit of God. And this peace that Jesus gives us is a peace that nothing else can give us. And so as we believe in Jesus, as we trust in him, and as we are reminded today to put our hope in him, uniquely, because he has given us a home and he has given us a help, we can be at peace. We don't have to lose heart. Again, it connects to the Christmas message. The Christmas message is all about peace. And if the Christmas message of peace and joy comes to us loud and clear and spoken in the public. This message of peace comes to us intimately, comes to us in the context of the disciples sharing a meal together at home, in the context of intimacy and eagerness. It comes to us speaking to you personally, inviting you to experience the peace. So we do not have to lose heart. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be fearful. Instead, we look forward to another year, another day, another season, and to what is in store for us. Even though we are being ushered into this new season, new year, with a lot of insecurity, with a lot of uncertainties for the future, and yet we remind ourselves that Jesus is already victorious in his resurrection and in his ascension. And he invites us to look forward to what he is doing. So we can move on ahead with confidence and with assurance and with peace. Because as he promised us, as he invites us to not lose heart, but to believe in Jesus, to believe in God, and to also believe in Jesus. As we transition and as we plan, prepare for the new year, let us be reminded we have a home in the Father and we have a help in the Holy Spirit who lives with us. So let this simple reminder bring us joy and bring us hope as we excitedly look forward to what God has to do for us in our church and in our families. Thank you, and give back the time to Hoyan.